This is the EWN Radio Network.
The body symptoms are the way the body lets you know that there's something wrong. So what you're actually doing is you're suppressing how the body tells you that there's a problem.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from lifeinterruptedradio.com and sharonsaylor.com. It's my pleasure to spend another Friday night with you. Oh, my goodness. It's the start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of yours. I'm curled up here with a white jasmine tea. Oh, just smelling it alone is fantastic. What are you curled up with tonight? And I have been reading an amazing new book. I was just privileged enough to get an advanced copy of an amazing new book called No Grain, No Pain, and it's by Dr. Peter Osborne, and he has agreed to be my guest tonight to talk about our nutrition, autoimmune, how grain plays into it, how we can work to relieve our pain. And let me do a quick introduction of Dr. Peter Osborne. He is a clinical director of Origins Healthcare Center in Sugar Land, Texas, just southwest of Houston, if any of you are unfamiliar with Texas. He's a doctor of chiropractic medicine and a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He's an expert in, Dr. Osborne, orthomolecular and functional medicine.
Yes, orthomolecular.
Thank you, Dr. Osborne, for chiming in there, because that was a word I'm like, oh boy, I know I'm going to mess that one up. He's been practicing since 2001, and his main clinical focus is on holistic natural treatment of chronic degenerative diseases, which autoimmune falls into, folks. And he has a focus on gluten sensitivities and food allergies. And one of the things that surprised me the most when I first started to wonder what was going on with my health was I became sensitive to so many foods that I had been able to eat before. I one time was eating an apple and my nose started to run, and I said, that is really weird. And so it got me on the path of figuring out food sensitivities and food allergies. And there's so much talk nowadays about gluten-free, no gluten, staying away from grains. Yet when I was raised, I remember very much this idea. Well, I was raised in the Wonder Bread generation, Dr. Osborne, but but also I remember the talk about, you know, eat your grains, eat your whole grains and all of that. So thank you for being on Life Interrupted Radio today to talk about your new book, No Grain, No Pain, and what's changed since the time that I was taught how nutrition's happened.
Well, the reality and truth has changed, as with so many times in our history when we're told one thing about nutrition, and then enough humans are guinea pigs of that, you know, in quotation marks, truth, and then we realize that that's just not the reality. Trends come and go. Grain as a staple food in the human diet has never been scientifically established as being this primary criteria of whole nourishment. As a matter of fact, if we look at history, in 1943, the United States government banned the sale of processed grain because it was responsible for so much disease. And so this is actually where our food fortification program came from. When you look at a box of cereal or a loaf of bread, and you grew up kind of a similar generation that I did, you hear the commercials, it says fortified with essential vitamins and minerals. Well, it has to be fortified by law, or it's illegal to sell it in this country because it would cause frank and overt vitamin and mineral deficiency disease bad enough that it was killing people. But what cereal companies, what they did at the time was, instead of saying, don't eat our food, it might kill you, they said, eat it now even more because it's fortified and it's even healthier for you. And it was kind of this twist on marketing, and that marketing effort got its way into our food guide pyramid and into our school systems, and it raised an entire generation thinking that grains are this food that if you don't have, you're somehow not going to be as healthy an individual as you should be.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea of that. I was shocked. I thought for the longest time when it was a super nice benefit that they added all these extra nutrients to complement the nutrients that were there, but that's not exactly how they're doing or we're doing.
That's the way it was worded. That's not the actuality of the history, and that so many people just don't know that part of history.
Oh my goodness. I have to admit, though, I also for the longest time was attracted to grains because it was a quick and easy way to grab something and go. You know, or I travel a lot and it's always right there in the airport. Pretty easy to find something without having to, you know, that you can grab and go. So, boy, goodness, they've done a really great marketing, haven't they?
I would agree with that for sure, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's jump right into this whole thing about grain and what it does to us. I know when I brought up the idea of the word leaky gut to my gastroenterologist, he told me that was a fad word and it didn't exist. Yet, I really believe that regardless of what you call it, I think that I have it. So why is there so much conflict right now about diet and gluten-free, leaky gut?
Well, there's always controversy when information comes to light that is contradicting to paradigms of thought. You look at the fat-free diet, that was, you know, for a long time that became the truth. Sugar-free and carb-free became the truth. We're seeing the same kind of trend happening in gluten-free. But in medicine, the same kinds of things happen. Leaky gut is not a new concept. It's not a trend, and it's not a myth. It actually does exist. It's just in medical terms, we use the different kind of vocabulary. So we would say leaky gut. We would say intestinal hyperpermeability would be the way that we would talk amongst ourselves. So if a doctor talking to another doctor, we wouldn't use the term leaky gut. A lot of GI docs feel like that term has been hijacked, and that's one of the reasons why they dismiss it. Another reason why they dismiss it is that there's no scientifically agreed upon, validated way to actually test for it. You can test for it in test tubes. You can test for it in assays where we're looking at cell cultures, but it's very, very hard to test for it in a living, breathing human. And so a lot of doctors completely dismiss it for that reason, even though it's been around longer than 20, 25 years. It was actually a pediatric gastroenterologist at the University of Maryland. He's now at Harvard, one of the leads at Harvard, who discovered that gluten itself could cause leaky gut. So it's not a myth. It's not a mystery. It's been scientifically validated. And any GI doctor who has an argument against that doesn't read their own medical literature, and they're in the dark.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's bring it out into the light and talk about leaky gut. How do we know that we might begin to need to ask, do we have leaky gut? What are some of the signs and symptoms of it, and how does grain play into that?
Well, autoimmune disease is actually one of the main issues behind a leaky gut. It's like a precursor to develop autoimmune disease. We talk about autoimmune disease itself, it's kind of in a nutshell, it's when the immune system, when our immune system becomes overly confused, and it starts to attack our own tissues. So very, very commonly, we'll see women especially develop hypothyroidism or low thyroid, and many of these women will develop it as a result of their own immune systems attacking their thyroid. There are other autoimmune diseases that cause pain specifically, like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, or scleroderma or dermatomyositis. There's about 140 scientifically validated and named autoimmune diseases, and it's actually the most common medical condition in the United States if we lump autoimmune disease together under one umbrella, like we would with cancer. We lump all the cancers together. We just don't lump all the autoimmune diseases together when it comes to statistics and reporting. So autoimmune disease is a very prevalent condition. But back to the question, which is, you know, what are the symptoms of leaky gut? Well, the symptoms are the development of autoimmune disease. That's kind of the late stage symptoms. But other people might manifest a leaky gut, and they might have bloating, gastrointestinal dysfunction, IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, whether that's a diarrhea-based irritable bowel syndrome or a constipation, or whether it varies back and forth. Some people might have a really hard time digesting their food. So just the act of eating itself creates a lot of discomfort. Some people develop joint pain. Some people develop liver disease of the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So it's not being caused by alcohol consumption, but being caused by the food leaking into the bloodstream and creating liver damage. So it can create a lot of different kinds of problems, and it can cause a lot of different kinds of symptoms, which again is one of the reasons why I wrote No Grain, No Pain, was specifically to kind of map that out for people so that they could correlate that their diet might actually be contributing to their chronic autoimmune pain.
Well, what surprises me is the whole list of the ways that you say it manifests, because goodness, in my mind, as I'm hearing all those different things, it also could be anything. Before my diagnosis, I had a lot of odd things, but it was so hard to put them together into one umbrella. And as my primary care physician was the one who diagnosed it, finally said, well, the problem is many times you have certain symptoms within sort of this range, this baseline, and until you get a symptom outside of that, then it's hard to put the label of rheumatoid arthritis on it or dermatomyositis on it, or because so many of the symptoms are very, very similar. But I'm curious, if they all have this base of coming from the gut, coming from digestion, coming from the way we eat and the way we process our foods through our system, is autoimmune able to be managed and cured by curing the gut?
There are four known causes of autoimmune disease. And I said before that one of the precursors to even developing autoimmunity is leaky gut. But the other four causes, or the four primary things that go wrong that can contribute to autoimmune disease. To answer your question, yes, you can put an autoimmune disease to bed. You can knock it out. You can, for lack of a better word, you can actually cure it. But you have to go about it in the right process. So those four items that can cause or contribute to autoimmune disease, one of them is food. And gluten and grain is one element of food that has been identified as being a known cause. Vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So, for example, vitamin D deficiency and zinc deficiency and vitamin A deficiency can contribute to a permeable gut wall. They can contribute to an autoimmune response. And so those things have to be investigated and ruled in or out. Then you have infection. Infection is actually the reason we know about leaky gut. It was discovered originally as a consequence to having a gastrointestinal infection. So having an infection, an infection doesn't mean you have diarrhea and that you're vomiting and that you have 104 fever. Infection can be chronic and very low grade, and the only symptoms could be gastrointestinal disturbances that don't really hinder your life to such a huge degree. A lot of people who have just heartburn alone, it's coming from an infection that never really got identified or never really got investigated appropriately. So infection is one of those known causes. And then the fourth cause is a chemical reaction, meaning environmental chemicals. We know that pesticides and plastics and plasticizers and petrochemicals and herb killers or weed killers, these are all things that we know of chemically that can contribute to autoimmune disease as well. So kind of the fundamental flow or process, at least when I go through when I'm in the clinic with a patient who comes to see me and they've been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, is we have to, at the very least, initially rule those four things in or out so that we can have a meaningful kind of treatment plan or game plan that puts them on the path so that they can heal, as opposed to medicating. Because what happens when you medicate somebody, you can improve their quality of life with a medicine, but in a nutshell, you're merely artificially manipulating their chemistry. So you're silencing the body's symptoms, which the body's symptoms are the way the body lets you know there's something wrong. So what you're actually doing is you're suppressing how the body tells you that there's a problem, And you're allowing that real problem, that underlying problem, to continue on for years and years and years and do more and more damage.
Amazing. Oh, amazing. I am so thrilled that you're on. We need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with Dr. Peter Osborne, the author of the brand new great book called No Grain, No Pain. And we'll be back with him in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, your host for Life Interrupted Radio. I'm here with Dr. Peter Osborne, the clinical director of Origins Healthcare Center in Sugar Land, Texas. And he is the author of the great new book. I just finished reading an advanced copy of it, No Grain, No Pain. Dr. Osborne, thank you so much for being on and sharing with us. I want to circle back on some of the things, but just quickly, when is the launch date of your new book? It's really soon, isn't it?
It's January 26th.
January 26th. Fantastic. Well, we'll be able to share with everyone in just a little bit how they can get a copy of it for sure, because I was just spellbound by it. I learned so much. And before the commercial break, you were mentioning the foods and the vitamin and mineral deficiencies, infection, chronic infections, and chemicals. And then you mentioned the word game plan, which was important to me, because in my process of healing, it's been about almost 2 years now. One thing I found, and I wanted your advice on how we can find the proper medical care, because I went to multiple doctors and they would do blood tests to check my vitamins or my minerals and check for infection, and all of those tests came back normal. And so it was so frustrating that it was obvious something was wrong. How do we find the right physicians, the right care people to help us uncover these things that can be just sort of hidden from what I'll say the normal protocols?
Well, ultimately, I would encourage anybody with autoimmune disease to look for a functional medicine doctor, the keyword functional medicine. And the reason why in medicine today, there's such a high degree of specialty. If you go to, for example, if you have a thyroid autoimmune disease, you go to an endocrinologist. If you have a joint pain autoimmune disease, you go to a rheumatologist. And so it doesn't matter what you have, you generally end up in the office of a specialist who's only looking through what I call tunnel vision goggles, where they're only looking at your particular area of your body without considering the fact that you can have a problem in your food and that ends up as a hormone issue. You can have a problem in your food, or you can have an infection, and that manifests as joint pain, or that manifests as brain fog or fatigue or one of those kinds of symptoms. So it's very important to find a doctor who's not stuck in that model of, I'm only looking for your symptoms so that I can write you a prescription drug to mask your symptoms. That just doesn't work. It's never worked unless you have an infection, which requires an antibiotic to be treated. That is the only medicine that actually cures any form of disease, is the actual antibiotic if you have a bacterial infection. So looking for a good trained, well-trained functional medicine doctor is probably the first best step in looking for somebody who's adept at applying this model in an appropriate manner.
Oh, I'm glad you bring that up, because I'm thinking back at the number of doctors and specialists I went to. While very skilled, I remember getting a one-time thing where one of them wanted to do something that I thought was quite drastic, and I went to my primary care and I said, you know, I need your help on this. And he said, that's a rheumatologist's answer to a problem he can't figure out. And I thought that was such a wise thing for me to understand, that if that's their specialty, that's the answer that they're always looking for. They're not looking in a more holistic way. Now, to me, functional medicine is somewhat new. Are there a lot of functional medicine practitioners, doctors out there?
No, unfortunately, there's not a lot. The biggest database of doctors, accumulated doctors, that have some type of formal training in functional medicine there's only about 15,000, at least at last count. And so when you take into consideration 15,000 is not a lot of doctors. Just to get in to see me in my office is several months of wait just to get in, and it's because there's just so few of us. You definitely don't want to go to somebody. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, there's 15,000, and of those 15,000, how many actually have a practice where they practice functional medicine versus they just took the courses, got an education, but they still practice traditional medicine? Because a lot of these doctors actually still practice traditional medicine, even though they've got an education in functional medicine. And as with any practice, the more you practice, the better you get. And so my advice is not only just to find somebody who's certified, but find somebody who has years of experience at practicing functional medicine, not just certified in functional medicine.
Let's define functional medicine a little bit. I always define it as they look at me as a whole person. Is that how functional medicine works?
In part. I mean, the premise of functional medicine is that as the doctor, you're looking not for how you can treat the symptoms of the patient. And I say that, and that's one of the very important concepts, because a lot of natural doctors who are holistic, they still treat symptoms, but instead of using drugs, they use herbs, or they'll use vitamins and minerals in higher doses. But a lot of times they still aren't figuring out why. They know what, which is this patient has X disease or Y disease or has this symptom or that symptom. And then they move forward to try to treat the symptom with just something that's more natural. It goes deeper than that. Functional medicine is actually looking at root cause. You look for the root cause of why the symptoms are there in the first place, so that you can develop a plan of action that creates a patient that is empowered to make real and meaningful changes, so that we can get their condition and their disease into a state of remission, but also to educate that patient so that they can keep that disease at bay and they no longer have a dependency upon the doctor.
That's fantastic. That is, to me, the way medicine should be. And sometimes, as for my listeners out there, know that you have to keep looking. It took me a while. It took me over a year to find the right team for my condition, but they are out there. And so keep looking and speak up. Be willing to speak up. And I've actually fired a couple of doctors over this time, just saying, look, you know, I think this isn't exactly what's right for me, what I need. Thank you very much, and let's part company. And it's okay to do that. So I just want to throw that out there for people to understand that if your doctor isn't listening to you in a way that you want them to, in a way that is helpful, that maybe sometimes I felt I was being poo-pooed when I would say, I don't know symptom from side effect on certain medications they were putting me on. Maybe sometimes it's time to say, thank you very much, but I'll keep on looking for my answers somewhere else. Let's get into your book, though. I was just mesmerized. I thank you so much for laying the groundwork here for autoimmune and how the ways that we can work to resolve it for ourselves and be part of the... To me, it's always about being an integral part in our own healing. And I appreciated that primer on autoimmune, as well as your book is all about ways that we are in charge of our own healing. And I really appreciated that about your book. Let's share a little bit about why grain, get into that a little deeper. I know we just lightly touched on that, but why grain and some of the things that we need to do instead.
So yeah, grain in and of itself, a lot of, you know, again, as we talked about earlier, that you know, so many people are under this premise because they've been told time and again, and they grew up in an age where, you know, grain was kind of a staple food. And even if you look at what most people eat, you know, cereal for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch and then some form of pasta or macaroni or whatever for dinner. And so the vast majority of what a lot of people eat is actually grain-based. And the problem with grains inherent, there are several problems that we know of. One of them is this family of proteins called glutens. And for people with gluten sensitivity, and realize this too, I say that because there are a lot of people with autoimmune disease that don't even realize they have gluten sensitivity, or they've dismissed it. If you have autoimmune disease, you need to have gluten sensitivity ruled out immediately, because prior to those other things that we talked about, those four different causes of autoimmunity, as little as 15 years ago, gluten was actually, at that point, one of the only known causes of autoimmune disease. And even to this day, it's probably more scientists can agree that gluten contributes to autoimmune disease more than any other one factor. And so knowing that if you have that, you need to get that checked into. You need to have your doctor measure gluten sensitivity, not measure celiac disease, because they're not the same thing. He needs to measure gluten sensitivity specifically, and that can only be done through genetics. So step one is getting that piece in place, getting that information in place so that you have it. But let's talk more about how grain can damage you. I said gluten, as a family of proteins found within grains, is one of the reasons grains can be so detrimental, again, especially those that have gluten sensitivity. But there are other parameters around grain that are extremely unhealthy that people don't realize. One of those is another family of proteins called lectins. Lectins love cartilage. They have this tendency to travel through your bloodstream when you eat grain, and you get these lectins, and they attach to your cartilage and they create inflammation. The supplement that one of the top selling supplements in the U.S. is actually a supplement called glucosamine chondroitin.
Yes,
and it's for joint pain, and the way that it works is it binds the lectins in wheat. It actually binds them and prevents them from doing damage, inflammatory damage to our joints. So you've got lectins, you've got this family of proteins called glutens, then you have the way grains are grown and farmed today. A lot of them contain lots of different forms of pesticide, atrazine, a pesticide called Roundup or glyphosate. These pesticides, for many people, do a lot of damage, contribute to or cause leaky gut syndrome, which, you know, induces or helps to induce this autoimmune process. The application of these pesticides are so dangerous that the farmers who apply them actually wear chemical warfare suits with respirators so that they don't get damaged as they're out in that field. Now imagine that. You're eating this food as a staple in your diet, and to properly grow it, the farmers in the field are actually wearing chem warfare suits to protect themselves. That doesn't even make sense to me.
It's shocking.
If you look at it from that perspective. But then you also have this other problem. One of these other problems with grains is that they contain a lot of mold. Just the way that they're grown and the way that they're stored before they're processed, they have a tendency to grow mold. And so you have all this mold growth within grains, like Aspergillus is a species of mold that loves to grow on grain. Fusarium is another species of mold that loves to grow on grain. And mold produces a byproduct called mycotoxin. And many people have severe reactions to these mycotoxins. Many people have immune-suppressing reactions to these mycotoxins. And so the end result is still inflammation. And inflammation, the more you eat, the more inflammation you create, the more damage that's done over time, the more your body breaks down. So those are some of the reasons why grain can be highly toxic or not a healthy food. There are many others, but those are some. We could talk 5 hours about a number of the properties of grain and how detrimental they are and the different reasons. But I think those are probably pretty good solid points.
Absolutely. And things that I was unaware of. I had no idea. I had that basic idea of gluten and the protein. And I had someone one time mention to me, and it stuck in my brain in such a way that it made an impact, was, well, you do know what paper mache is made out of, right? And commenting about, and I was thinking, whoa, okay. And that was one thing that stuck to me. But this idea of how it attacks our cartilage, and then you mentioned the molds. Many, many people have mold allergies, so I could see where that could even be contributing at an additional layer. This is just amazing to me. My goodness. Now, what happens is, I know many people will say, but I'm addicted to my morning breakfast cereal, or I'm thinking, how can we wean ourselves off grain? I mean, maybe go cold turkey, but I know many people say to me, but I just have to have my cookie with my tea.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to make a cookie, and you can make them without grain as well. Some people have gone to using things like almond flour or coconut flours or tapioca or arrowroot flours as an alternative, which is a possibility. So it's not even that you wouldn't be able to do that. However, I get that question, hey, how can I justify changing so much about my diet? These are the things I've been doing for 20 or 30 or 40 years. It's just a really, really hard change, and it's just hard to even fathom it. That's why I recommend genetic testing first, because if you know that it's something that you absolutely should do, then you can commit to it, right? I mean, and that commitment might take a little bit of time, and part of that little bit of time is a learning curve. It's learning new recipes. It's figuring out replacements. It's figuring out how to travel without worrying about getting exposure to grain. And so there's so many different elements and layers to this. So ultimately, I think the best thing that we can do is that we can know one way or the other whether it's the right thing for us to do. So I encourage genetic testing for those people who don't maybe want to go that route. I actually have a quiz, and there's about 25 questions in this quiz. And if you answer these questions honestly, it will give you a very good idea of whether or not going grain-free is the right thing for you to do.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you brought up genetic testing, because that was an eye-opener for me in so many levels of why I am where I am. And you brought up this idea when I've had people comment to me that same way of, well, I've been eating this way for 20, 30, 40 years. And I'm, yes, and that's what got you here. So
right. It's like a diabetic, right? You don't just wake up one day and develop diabetes. That's not how it works. It's what you do. Consistency over time is equals outcomes, right? And if you're consistently eating bad over time, then the outcome is going to be that you have disease. But nobody wakes up with cancer or diabetes or heart disease. They develop it over years and years of bad habits. The issue then becomes, well, my cardiologist said eat whole grain. Now we're saying don't eat whole grain. And so there's conflict and there's confusion. And again, that's where functional medicine is so much more effective, because it doesn't generalize. It doesn't say everybody does this. It basically takes into account a person's uniqueness and offers testing and insight to help identify what those uniquenesses are so that you can move forward in confidence, knowing that what you're doing is the right thing to do, as opposed to guessing forward. And maybe, you know, some people, you know, they go on, it's New Year's, right? So a lot of people go on diets right now because, you know, that's what we do. We, in New Year's, we make a resolution, and a lot of people get on these diet kicks and they do it for, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Maybe they lose 20 pounds. Maybe they feel better, but then they quit. Then they start sliding back in the other direction. Realize that being healthy does require a commitment and does require intelligence. It does require paying attention to how you feel as you eat or as you do certain things. And so, you know, as the old saying goes, nothing in life worthwhile is easy. Well, being healthy in this modern convenient world of convenient junk food and convenient unhealthy food, that requires knowing that. It requires a knowledge, and it requires an action set on the part of the individual to be able to get healthy.
Fantastic. We need to take another quick commercial break. We'll be back with Dr. Peter Osborne. He's the clinical director of Origins Healthcare Center in Sugarland, Texas, the author of the great new book, No Grain, No Pain. We'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com ewtn.com/radio gift. Welcome back to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com and LifeInterruptedRadio.com. I'm here with Dr. Peter Osborne, and he is the author of a whole series of books called Glutenology, and his latest book is No Grain, No Pain. And it's designed to educate us about the world of gluten, but also his book goes much deeper. This book that I just finished reading, the advanced copy of, goes much deeper into not just gluten. It goes into inflammation and understanding even our two brains, our gut brain and our head brain. I wanted to talk to you, Dr. Osborne, right now, getting in a little deeper past this. Make the commitment, you know, go grain free. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that will change as we go grain free. In your book, you talk about what is inflammation and why it is so bad for us. And that was one of the other things that as you read through the book, you're like, okay, I'll give up my grain. But then you read about some of these things like direct inflammation and you're like, wow, really is a convincer to give up grain, and how also it even alters the healthy bacteria in our body. So let's talk about inflammation first, and what are some of the things that we can do if we know we have inflammation in our body?
Well, the first thing is to figure out where that inflammation is coming from. So in the case of grain, it's a highly inflammatory food. Even if you don't have gluten sensitivity, grain is very, very rich in the type of fat called omega-6. And this type of fat is the fat that's responsible for creating inflammation. Now, that being said, inflammation is not necessarily a bad thing. We use inflammation to heal ourselves. You know, when you get a cut, you use inflammation to take the damaged tissue, break it down so that you can replace it with new, fresh, and healthy tissue. But the problem is when we have chronic inflammation, when you have damage that consistently is coming in faster than you're capable of repairing it, and that damage, think of that in terms of biochemical damage, damage being done by the grain, damage being done by the food itself. And so over time, that inflammation, it creates a breakdown in your body's ability to be able to function normally, because your body is using all of its internal resources to battle chronic inflammation, and it doesn't have any resources left over to produce hormones properly, to repair tissue properly, to fight the allergens in the environment properly, to fight colds and flus and bugs and other things properly. So what we're left with is we're left with people who are basically chronically depleted and in a state they become sicker and sicker as the years go by because they're just so chronically inflamed.
Oh, my goodness. And as you read through the book, folks, you become more and more sure of how this works, because that's what I love about your book, Dr. Osborne, is you walk us through the entire knowledge process and some of the things that we might say sound good, and then you add all of these amazing convincers of like, oh, that makes perfect sense now that you break it down and tell us why the inflammation process is there to begin with, and what happens when we ignore it. We talked about leaky gut, and we've talked about whole body inflammation. In your book, you also bring up the topic of how inflammation and gluten and grains can attack, I hope I pronounced this right, the microbiome, or the good bacteria, the bacteria in our body that actually helps us do the digestion and transfer and absorb the minerals and the vitamins and all of that. But let's talk a little bit about this microbiome. To me, that is also, at least in the general population, sort of a new area of fascination and research about probiotics and all of that. And I've always been curious, can you overdo probiotics?
It's really hard to overdo probiotics because there aren't really very many brands that have meaningful doses. Most brands of probiotics, you know, the dose is such a small dose, it's almost like trying to spit on a forest fire, right? You're not going to make much of a dent. You actually, the microbiome is you're outnumbered by bacteria. Your body is outnumbered, human cells to bacterial cells, to the order of 10 to 1. So you're actually much more bacteria than you are human in terms of cell count. The microbiome at this time next year will probably be classified in science as a human organ. That's how important it is.
Wow.
And one of the reasons why we're learning so much more about it, it actually has to do with the broad spectrum use of antibiotics for so many years. We've been using antibiotics now over 60 years. And what we're starting to see are some of the detrimental side effects to that antibiotic use. Some of it has to do with the microbiome. Study was just published in November that showed that one round of antibiotics will alter your gut bacteria for up to a year. And that can predispose your immune system to autoimmunity. And it can also, there are five barriers in your gut. One of those barriers is the microbiome. And these barriers protect you from leaky gut. And so when you knock out, you know, one of the five barriers, that's 20%, right? So now that when you take a course of antibiotics, but you don't follow it up with a strong dose of probiotics, you can put yourself kind of in a predisposition to develop autoimmune disease. But gluten in and of itself has been shown to alter the gut bacteria in an unfavorable way. Part of it is because so many forms of gluten will feed the wrong kind of bacteria. But one of the other reasons why is the grain itself is so saturated with pesticide. These pesticides destroy our good bacteria as well. So the very act of eating the food that contains the quantity of pesticide creates a lot of damage to our healthy and adequate levels of good bacteria. And understand, these bacteria, they help your immune system communicate. They help you digest your food. They help you synthesize B vitamins and vitamin K. They have so many important functions. And so when you knock out these guys, it's almost like having an organ removed.
Oh, my goodness. Now, what I've heard the term of SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Let's talk about that, because to me that was described as a little bit different than what we're talking about here. I mean, this is just my generic term. The bad bacteria overtakes the good bacteria.
Well, SIBO isn't even necessarily bad bacteria. Let's use an analogy and clarify good versus what are called commensal bacteria versus bad bacteria. We say bad bacteria, we really would refer to that as an infection, right? An overgrowth of a type of bacteria that can create or contribute to infection. So that would be an example of that might be like staph or E. coli or Klebsiella. These are just different bacterial species that we know are human pathogens. They cause human disease. Then there's another group of bacteria, which we call our microbiome, which are largely very symbiotic bacteria that help us do things, like lactobacillus and bifidobacteria and bifidobacter species. These are just different forms of bacteria that we've identified that are very helpful for us. And then there's this other class of bacteria that is also helpful, but if they grow out of control, they can actually become harmful. Think of it like drinking water. Water is helpful. It keeps us hydrated. But think about now drinking so much water that it becomes detrimental. And that's what can happen in the gut with SIBO, is you get certain types of bacteria that in small amounts can be helpful, but over time, if they grow out of control, they can actually start creating detriment within the gut.
That makes more sense. Thank you for clarifying that. Are there tests to find out what that balance is and if we do need probiotics or the kinds of things that we should be doing to make sure we keep our microbiome healthy, besides avoiding gluten and being clear on, I would say, when you mentioned pesticides, I was thinking, well, even our fruits and vegetables, making sure you're organic there.
Right, right. And to answer your question, yes, there are tests. There are tests that can be done that measure the microbiome and tell you whether or not you have adequate quantities of good bacteria. Tests are relatively easy to do and can be extremely helpful in somebody's recovery and can be extremely helpful in getting somebody, pulling them from the point of, you know, why do I have IBS? Why does my gut not feel right, quote unquote, right? And a lot of times it's just not having adequate quantities of good bacteria.
But you mentioned that the ones out there now, as you said, spitting on a forest fire. What are some ways that we know that what we're taking, because I know when we go to the stores, you know, they're not inexpensive usually. What are some ways that we know we're taking something that will be helpful to us.
Well, that's the unfortunate part. Not that I am for federal regulation of the supplement industry, because federal regulation hasn't really done a whole lot for the drug industry. It's been more of a hindrance than anything else. But one of the fundamental problems is that in a lot of supplement companies that are out there, and some of them are dishonest and some of them are misleading. And I'm not saying that about every company, but that's certainly one of the challenges that we face and that we have to deal with when picking different supplements over the counter. I would say if you've got a good functional medicine doctor, buy it from them, because the process there means that the product has been very extremely well vetted, and that doctor is probably even visited that manufacturing facility for himself to make sure that the product is what it's supposed to be, which it's a requirement for me to begin using a new product or to begin. I always visit their facility and I do a tour and I look at their raw ingredients and I make sure that what they're claiming is actually true. And that's not something that every person can just do. You know, obviously it costs money to fly out, and not every manufacturer is just going to let every person from the general public into their facility. But when it comes to a probiotic, I mean, dosing is very, very important. The way that they're grown is very, very important. A lot of probiotics are grown on genetically modified cultures, which is one thing I don't recommend. It's one kind of product I don't recommend, because if you're using a grain-based genetically modified culture to grow your bacteria, then you're contributing to the grain pain problem in the first place. Now, a lot of them are grown on cultures that contain highly processed dairy that contains other chemicals that might not be the best for you. So that's something else that you have to kind of be careful about. The other issue with probiotics is a dosing issue. The dosing issue, a lot of it, when you look at the label, it'll tell you, okay, this one pill contains, for example, 10 billion. What in dosing with probiotics is listed in the acronym CFU. CFU stands for colony forming units. It's how many colony forming units are actually in the capsule when you swallow the capsule. But dosing can be tricky. A lot of manufacturers that produce a probiotic, that dose that they're listing on their label is the quantity of probiotic the day that the probiotic is actually manufactured. And the problem with probiotics is they deteriorate with time. In other words, they lose their potency over time. So let's say that product sits on a shelf for 4 or 5 months. The original dose, maybe it was 10 billion, but now, because it's deteriorated for 4 months, that dose has gone from 10 billion to 3 billion, but you're taking it thinking you're getting 10 billion. And so it's very, very important to find companies who, when they're listing their label, when they're listing on their label, they're listing a dose that is the dose that is guaranteed on the date that the product expires. And that way you have a much more accurate way of reading into what you're taking in terms of the dose. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you've just an amazing wealth of knowledge. I'm just mesmerized. All of these little tips that we think we're doing the right thing, and you're adding these little tips of look at those that guarantee the dosage on the date that it expires. I never had heard that before. This is absolutely, I'm just thrilled that you were able to be on Life Interrupted Radio today. We're just about out of time. We'll have to have you back, Dr. Osborne, because, like I said, I've just been mesmerized. But please share with us, number one, how to get your new book. Is there any final thoughts that you want to make sure that we know about our health, about autoimmune, about not eating grain? Share with us any of your final thoughts, any things that you wish I'd asked that I didn't ask.
Well, I think you did a great job asking some of the right questions. I would say I would re-encourage what I said earlier, which is if you have any form of autoimmune disease whatsoever, you need to look at this grain connection extremely meticulously. Find the right doctor who can do that for you, because the likelihood that you are gluten sensitive is extremely, extremely high. I've been in practice over 15 years. And it is extremely rare to find somebody with autoimmune disease who does not actually have a true gluten sensitivity. If you're suffering with an autoimmune condition, that you get that investigated appropriately. If somebody wants to pick up a copy of the book, it's nograinnopainbook.com, or they can just type that in on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's available in pretty much most major book distributors. But I encourage you also to go to glutenfreesociety.org. That's my foundation. There's a ton of information there that you can get access to, videos and articles on going grain-free and on what it actually means and what other health information and tips that you need to learn about. And if you're at all interested in my clinic, you can visit drpeterosborne.com. That's Dr. Peter Osborne, O-S-B as in boy, O-R-N-E.com. And there's a great resource database there for you as well, and you can learn more about how we take care of people in the clinic.
Thank you so much. And I want to shout out about the glutenfreesociety.org. I signed up for that a while ago, several years ago, in fact, and I have just loved the newsletters that you put out. The information you put out is always spot on. And even if you don't know that you have an autoimmune, you just might think that you have an autoimmune, or you've got some symptoms like we talked about today, some pain that you can't seem to get rid of, anything like that, encourage you to get the book, No Grain, No Pain, because you might just be surprised even if you don't have that clinical diagnosis yet. I know Dr. Osborne's book will give you plenty of information to be able to take to your functional medicine doctor and say, let's explore this. So thank you so much, Dr. Osborne, for being on Life Interrupted Radio today. It was just an honor to have you here, and the information you shared is so valuable.
You're welcome, Sharon. I was happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Everyone, as always, go have a great week. Whatever your adventures, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.